Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, greetings and welcome to another edition of the Beacon Broadcast on this Tuesday, December 18. Thank you for joining us, and we'll get right into our study in 1 Peter chapter 1. I do especially need to thank those who help us with the cost of maintaining the Beacon Broadcast on this station. You are a tremendous encouragement to us, and more than an encouragement, you are our lifeline that allows us to continue this ministry. Thank you so very, very much. Well, we have seen that after the normal opening of the epistle, where Peter identifies himself as the author and identifies the recipients, the people that he's writing to, he then blesses his readers at the last part of verse 2 when he says, "Grace to you and peace be multiplied," following which he blesses his God in verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now that's a wonderful text. Every phrase is loaded with truth, but it's that first part that we're going to especially talk about today, namely, Peter blesses God. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, most of us are not accustomed to speaking that way. Is that something that only an apostle would do? Only an apostle could do to bless God? How many of you have ever blessed God? You want God to bless you, and you probably ask Him to and pray for Him to. That's the same thing as asking Him to, isn't it? You probably desire that He'll bless you and pray for Him to bless you, and sometimes testify to others that God has blessed you in this way or that way, but have you ever blessed God? Peter did. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, that's an interesting phrase, and we want to talk about it a little bit further. I return to yesterday's topic, which is Peter blessing his readers in the last part of verse 2, "Grace to you and peace be multiplied," where Peter sets the tone of the epistle and invokes God's abundant blessings upon his readers. But now he turns around the other way and blesses God. Now, please understand, there is a difference. When God blesses men, He confers blessings. He makes them blessed. When men bless God, they are simply eulogizing God because we are not capable of conferring a blessing. We can't bless God in the same way that God blesses us. We can't confer blessings upon God the way that God confers so many blessings upon us. We can't make God blessed, but we recognize God can make us blessed, but all of that being true, it is still legitimate for men to bless God, because that's exactly what Peter does here. So what are men doing? What is Peter doing? And what would I be doing if I said, "I bless God"? Perfectly legitimate. I'm confident of that. It is perfectly legitimate to talk in that kind of language. But again, in my experience, it is very rare. I don't hear people talking that way, and I must say that I am not in the custom to saying that very often, though I do from time to time, and perhaps will more as I fasten my mind upon this wonderful truth. But what do men do when they bless God? Well, they praise Him. They proclaim his worth. It is a way of publicly praising God, and it is a way of worshiping God. To bless God is to say, I recognize that you are the source of all of my blessings, and I praise you. And that we do, don't we? We don't have any difficulty using that language. We praise God. We proclaim his worth. We honor him. We do a lot of things, and we use various words to describe it, but we very seldom use this exact language, I bless you, God. But Peter does, and you'll find others in the Bible that do exactly the same thing. So, the nature of Peter's blessing is to praise God, to eulogize God, and we use that word, don't we? It's quite customary at funerals to have a eulogy, or perhaps more than one. In fact, in some obituaries, I read not just who is going to conduct the service, but who is going to deliver the eulogy, which is, and this is what it is praising the person that we are gathering to remember. It is publicly giving praise for his life. I don't usually use that terminology, eulogizing someone, though I confess that I do it at funerals, but I try to do it in proper proportion. I try not to make that the main thing. And I do question that some people seem to think that's the purpose of the funeral service, is to eulogize the deceased. And the more the better, the more eulogy the better, the more people who eulogize him the better. Let's have this person speak and that person speak and this person speak and that person speak. Let's have the family's perspective, the co-worker's perspective, this perspective and that perspective, all of the people who come to heap praise upon this person to eulogize him. I question whether that is a good practice to let that become basically the whole purpose of the funeral service. If we are Christians, the purpose of the funeral service is to praise God. That's the purpose of every meeting when we gather together as a congregation of believers, when we gather together as a church, or when we gather together in a church building. It's rather interesting to see what has happened in the development of culture. And one of the things that has obviously happened is that there's become more and more of a man-centered focus in everything, even in our church services, and to such an extent that many times people don't even consider a funeral or a wedding to be about God at all. It's about me. It's about people. It's about the person. If it's a wedding, it's about the couple that's getting married. And of course, it is about them, but is it primarily about them? And if it's a funeral, it's primarily about the person who is deceased. And again, of course, it's obviously about them. I mean, nobody's under the delusion that when we gather together for a funeral, we haven't gathered together centered around this person who has passed away. We've come together to remember them, to honor them. Of course we have. No sense in pretending otherwise, but the point I'm trying to make is this, that the primary service of any church meeting is the worship of God. In other words, if you want to have a wedding that's primarily about the couple and really has nothing to do with God, don't have a church wedding. A church wedding should not be planned because you like the church setting, because it's pretty, or because it lends a certain solemnity to the occasion. Why does it lend solemnity to the occasion? Why do you think that way? Don't have a church wedding just because you want to have some kind of oblique reference to God, or some kind of oblique sense that you profess to be a Christian, but you don't really plan to honor God in any kind of conspicuous way in the elements of your wedding service. It's all about us. The attention is to us. The focus is on us. The honor is to us. The praise is to us. We honor ourselves, and we just, God gets enough attention if we just do him the honor of having it in a church building. I don't think so. I don't think so. And I think the same thing applies to a funeral. If you don't want to have a Christian wedding, don't have it in a church. If you don't want to have a Christian funeral, don't have it in a church. Have it at the graveside, or have it in a mausoleum, or don't have it in a church if you don't want to make the primary purpose to honor God. So, yes, I'm all for eulogies at funerals, but I think that should be the secondary part. I think it's a legitimate part, but I think we need to have a message from the Word of God. We need to honor God, and we need to set before those who attend the funeral the Word of God, a message from God, truth relating to God, and particularly relating to salvation, because here we're dealing with the reality of death. We're all going to die. This is a primary opportunity to talk about that. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. This person has come to the day of his death. It's a wonderful thing in a funeral when the person that you are remembering had such a clear and strong Christian testimony that there's no question about where they are after death. They are with the Lord. Not just because they profess to be a Christian, but because there was such an evidence of the working of God's grace in their life. Those kinds of funerals I enjoy conducting. But the kind of funerals that I struggle with are when the deceased person had a profession of faith, but their life was really very, what should I say, very suspect is the best word I can use. Their life didn't bear up their testimony, and everybody knows that. And that puts an honest preacher on the spot if you are expecting him to talk about this person as if they were a wonderful Christian and there's no question that they are in heaven, when the preacher has some serious reservations about that. Now, some preachers don't, of course, because some are willing to accept any profession of faith as evidence of eternal salvation, but that's not a biblical approach. So, at a funeral service, we need to put the spotlight upon God and eternity and salvation and the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross and how God saves sinners and how to prepare for your day of death. This is very important. But to say some good things about the person who died is perfectly appropriate, in my opinion. There are some who don't share that opinion, but I have thought about this for many years, and I've come to the conclusion that that is appropriate, but only if it is secondary and only if it is truthful. And I'll just let it go at that without saying any more. So we know what a eulogy is, but how about eulogizing God? We'll talk about it more on the broadcast, Lord willing, tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.